Corporation against the United States.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This case is about whether the CIT has authority to grant prospective relief as to future entries. ICDAS's incorrect de minimis margin in the sixth review, its second consecutive de minimis margin, affects ICDAS's future entries because a third consecutive zero margin renders ICDAS eligible for revocation according to the regulations of 19 CFR 351 section 222.
In the seventh review, they were relieved from order because of the three consecutive years, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And is that determination on appeal?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
And is a contention being made that in reviewing the seventh determination, seventh review, that this issue that you're raising now could also be decided in that context?
Don't believe it can be decided in that context, Your Honor. I'm not attempting to evade your question. I'm not certain of the answer to your question. I believe it cannot be. The government in this particular case has contended that each review stands on its own. And
so both parties agree that if this issue can't be raised in challenging the sixth review, it can't be raised at all. It can't be raised in connection with the seventh review.
To the best of my belief, that is correct, Your Honor. So this is the only place where we can address the sixth review margin. In fact, ICDAS obtained, as you mentioned, a zero margin in the seventh review, and those results are currently on appeal. This case, we believe, is simple. Zenith is about current or period of review entries. Zenith applies to cases involving challenges to anti-dumping duties assessed on current period of review entries. In those cases, because the statute does not provide for reliquidation, liquidation of current period of review entries terminates the CIT's jurisdiction. On the contrary, Amerisville's case is about future entries. In cases involving future entries, the CIT's jurisdiction is set forth in 19 U.S.C. 1516A is not extinguished by liquidation. The CIT has recognized that potential harm to future entries is reparable, notwithstanding liquidation of period of review entries.
There's basically a conflict with the Court of International Trade on this issue, right?
There is now, Your Honor, a conflict between our case and the case of Hilsa, which was decided by Judge Rustani, to the contrary of what Judge Carman decided in our case. And there's discussion of cases where the CIT has recognized potential harm to future entries is reparable. In a case, a Nucor Corp case, pages 23 to 26 of the Nucor Corp case. Cases such as Nucor Corp, FMC, Torrington, Timken, denying applications for preliminary injunctions based on the applicant's inability to show immediate and irreparable harm, requirements for the grant of a preliminary injunction, stand for the proposition that the CIT may grant prospective relief, such as that sought by Ameristeel, as to future entries. The very possibility of prospective relief caused those courts to refuse to issue preliminary injunctions. There was no showing of irreparable harm in those cases. What Ameristeel is requesting from the court would not change the law or contradict the line of cases starting with Zenith, or any of the other cases cited by the defendant appellees. Those cases simply do not address this situation. And finally, as Judge Dyke noted, Judge Rustani's recent decision in Hilsa is consistent with the finding that the CIT erred in Ameristeel's case. As the Hilsa court recognized, on facts very similar to those present in Ameristeel's case, and I quote, if retaining the status quo may have a legal effect on subsequent proceedings, the action should continue. In Ameristeel's case, retaining the status quo, namely ICDAS's sixth review margin, may have a legal effect on ICDAS's eligibility for revocation. Therefore, the action should continue. And there's one other issue that maybe I should address, which is a case that was brought to the court's attention, a decision of this court dated August 30 in SKF. I believe the government's attorneys brought the case to the court's attention. That case is also distinguishable from this situation in that that case again dealt with liquidation of current period review entries, did not deal with prospective relief to future entries, and the only issue there was whether Zenith applied to a situation where the entries were liquidated based on the action of customs versus liquidation based on operation of law. That is entirely irrelevant to us.
What effect did your clients not seeking an injunction to suspend liquidation, what effect should that have on this court's determination?
With respect, Your Honor, none whatsoever. Not with respect to this particular issue, which is the margin in the sixth review.
Well, it does affect the entries that are the subject of liquidation.
Absolutely.
Those can't be challenged.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Absolutely. We've conceded that, and we've agreed with that, and we have no issue with that. The only issue here is whether the court should address ICDAS's sixth review margin, because it does affect ICDAS's eligibility for revocation and therefore future entries.
Well, is there a case of controversy here causing liquidation?
We believe that there is a case or controversy, Your Honor, in that, in fact, the margin will affect ICDAS's eligibility for revocation. If we don't have an opportunity to address the margin here, we don't have the opportunity to address the margin anyway. Because again, as Judge Dyke asked, we don't have an opportunity to address the sixth review margin in an appeal from the final results of the seventh review. In fact, one could look at the government's brief on that particular point, if one is interested. At pages 9 to 10 of the government's brief, they basically make the point that each review stands on its own and is an independent determination. The issue of revocation is an issue that traverses reviews. Essentially, again, because the regulation sets forth three consecutive zero margins as the prerequisite for revocation. The court has jurisdiction pursuant to 19 U.S.C. 1516A, which has not been extinguished by liquidation vis-a-vis the margin, which has nothing to do with current review entries. That's all I have, Your Honors. Any more questions?
Okay, now let's hear from the other side, and we'll show you in the other time.
Good morning, Your Honors. Fairly. May I please the court?
Do you agree that they can't raise this issue in the seventh review?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so everybody agrees with that?
Yes, Your Honor. How
can that be moved if it's going to impact the seventh review?
Because pursuant to the plain language of 1516A, there's been a final and conclusive liquidation of the entries. Any final court decision pursuant to 1516AE could have no effect.
But the statute says it can't have any effect on the liquidated entries. But it doesn't say it can't have any effect under any circumstances.
Well, any final court decision would be advisory because there is no Chenier type challenge to the liquidation of the entries.
I don't understand how it would have an effect. You agree that if they won here and it was determined that the zero dumping margin was incorrect, that would affect the ability to revoke the order in the seventh review, wouldn't you?
No, Your Honor, we wouldn't, because the court has no authority to decide. The actual margin is what the final and conclusive liquidated margin is. That is what the holding of this court is in CMEX. It is final and conclusive as to all persons.
What you're saying is there's no jurisdiction to make a determination of dumping margin unless it's in connection with liquidation.
That's what the plain language of 1516AE, the plain language...
I don't see that in the plain language. Show me where the plain language says that.
The structure of the statute requires that the entries be liquidated in accordance with the final court decision. The entries have already been liquidated in this case.
That's just a statement that it can't affect the liquidation.
But the final court decision would have no effect. It could have no effect.
Why not?
Because under CMEX, this court has held unambiguously that once the entries are liquidated, that is final, conclusive on all persons.
It's conclusive as to liquidation, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily conclusive as to the revocation of the dumping order in the seventh review.
As a matter of law, the liquidated, there's no challenge here by Jardot as to the lawfulness of the liquidation. Therefore, the correct therefore, the margin is correct as a matter of law. For the court to...
My problem is, where does the statute say that? It doesn't say that the margin is correct. It says that the liquidation can't be challenged. I don't see any provision in the statute that says that once the thing is liquidated, that the margin is established. If you can show me language like that, I'd be happy to look at it. I don't see that in the statute.
The statutory structure provides that certain decisions are reviewed.
But you're not talking about structure. I'm asking, where's the language? What language tells us that it's established and it can't be challenged?
Framed in the negative that way. The authority for the court is to review determinations. Once a determination is made, the entry may be suspended by virtue of an injunction. Here, Jadot waived its right to continue the challenge by not seeking an injunction. Therefore, under the plain holding...
If there's no language that says it's final as to the determination, and the language is it's only final as to liquidation, why can't the case go forward?
Because then you'd have a final lawful liquidation of the margin, and then you'd have a fictional advisory decision by the court.
The point is, it's not advisory. It affects the seventh review and the ability of the of commerce to revoke the anti-dumping order.
Your Honor, this court in Zenith addressed the situation in Zenith. By the way, this plaintiff is identically situated to Zenith. And all Your Honor needs to do is look at page 827.
But Zenith doesn't involve the question of whether the dumping order can be revoked. It only involves the question of whether, if there's no injunction, you lose the right to challenge the liquidation.
The facts of Zenith are identical here. Zenith involved a situation in which there was a petitioner, such as we have here, challenging a de minimis margin.
Where does Zenith talk about the revocation of the dumping order in the 3 years?
It doesn't talk about the revocation.
That's not involved in that.
That argument was available to Zenith. I'm sorry, Your Honor. That argument was available to Zenith.
Okay, the argument was available, but we didn't address that question.
No, Your Honor. And
we didn't address that.
Yes, Your Honor, you did not address that. But revocation, the authority, Congress granted Commerce the authority to revoke under statute. Commerce happens to promulgate a regulation which provides for a de minimis mechanism. It is not, as Chief Judge Rustani admitted in HILSA, it does not lead inexorably to revocation. It is one way in which, under Commerce's regulation, Commerce does not have the power to expand the Article III case and controversy requirement or to expand the jurisdiction of the CIT, of the Court of National Trade, but in this case, all the regulation does is set up one of several criteria that the Secretary will look at in deciding whether to revoke an order. One of the things that the Secretary will look at is whether there are three de minimis margins in a row. By the way, margin.
Is there any question but that the seventh review would have come out differently if the CIT or this court were to set aside the zero dumping margin in the sixth review? The seventh review would have come out differently if we were to hold that there was an improper dumping margin in the sixth review.
Not necessarily. The Department of Commerce the primary, what is charged by Congress to do, is decide whether, in revoking an order, whether there's a likelihood of continued dumping. Commerce, even if there are three de minimis margins in a row, Commerce can still decline to revoke the margin.
That's not the question. What happened was the Commerce, as I understand it, in the seventh review said, 3 years of zero margins, we've decided to revoke. And my question is, if we hope that the sixth margin should not have been a zero margin, that would have to be set aside, the decision in the seventh review.
Your Honor, I don't mean to be argumentative here, but the court doesn't have any authority to do that because the margin has been decided.
You're not accepting my hypothetical. The hypothetical is, if we were to say there's jurisdiction, I understand you say there isn't, and we were to say that the sixth review incorrectly assigned the zero margin, and it should have been higher than zero, then the seventh review determination revoking the dumping order would have to be set aside. right?
It would have to be remanded back to Commerce to decide whether revocation would still be appropriate under the circumstance in which it's one of its criteria and its regulation is not satisfied. Yes, I agree with that, Your Honor. But the question is, the statute has to make sense. And Giraudoux has offered no explanation as to why it did not seek an injunction. That is what Congress intended that it do, to pervert its right. It makes a statement in its brief that is flatly inconsistent with this court's holding in Zenith, which is that it would not have been able to establish entitlement to an injunction because it wouldn't have been able to establish irreparable harm. This court in Zenith expressly addressed the very situation we have here involving a domestic petitioner and what is the meaningful relief that this petitioner can get. It is a challenge to the assessment rate, which, by the way, all Giraudoux did in its complaint is exactly what Zenith did, which was challenge the assessment rate. There's nothing in its complaint that refers to revocation or the possibility of future revocation. It was looking to get a remand back to Congress to get a higher rate. That is exactly what happened in Zenith. That's what Zenith was trying to do. And this court in Zenith held that even the possibility of a change in the cash deposit rate, because that was still an open issue in Zenith, even that possibility was not enough to erase the specter of irreparable harm because of the liquidation of the entries. That is what the meaningful relief that a domestic petitioner can seek. And for Giraudoux to state in its brief that it could not have established irreparable harm in this case is flatly contrary to this court's, controlling precedent in Zenith.
I think they're not saying they couldn't establish irreparable harm. They're just saying they don't care about the liquidation. They only care about the revocation. And they say, we don't have to litigate the liquidation. We don't have to challenge that because we have another interest, which is in the revocation, and we only want to challenge the revocation. And they're saying, if we're going to challenge the revocation, we have to attack the dumping margin in the sixth review now. Not later as part of the seventh review.
Well, Your Honor, putting aside, assuming we disagree regarding a threshold authority issue, that is a colossal waste of judicial resources. First of all, Commerce, as I mentioned earlier, does not have the power to create Article III case of controversy by virtue of its regulation. Now, the regulation is clearly lawfully promulgated. It's consistent.
Well, I don't understand how there cannot be a case or controversy if the change in the dumping margin for the sixth review would invalidate the seventh review order. There's a case or controversy. You don't think that should happen. They think it should.
Because it's inherently speculative. Commerce has authority to grant it to it to decide whether to revoke an order.
What's speculative about it? You just agreed 5 minutes ago that if we hold the dumping margin shouldn't have been de minimis, that the seventh review revocation would have to be set aside.
Because all I admitted was that it goes back to Commerce to decide whether or not revocation is still appropriate.
But whatever the case is, the seventh order would have to be set aside. That sounds like a controversy.
Your Honor, this is a speculative determination. This is a framework by which Commerce, through its regulation, set up sort of criteria to decide whether it should revoke, consistent with the statutory authority. It does not expand the scope of review under 1516A of the entries that have been liquidated, that have been lawfully liquidated, that there's no question as to whether they're lawfully liquidated. The idea that it could maintain an action to basically have a court decide whether or not an argument assuming for argument's sake that the amount that Giraudoux had obtained an injunction that, in fact, the margin would have been X rather than the actual margin. It is entirely speculative, and I say I have another time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The statutory provisions here focus on the determination of dumping margins, and they serve as the basis under the statute for assessing duties in order to liquidate the entries. And it's an entry-based statutory set of provisions. That is the focus of the review and the review annual review provisions, and that is what can be appealed to the court.
So where does the statute say that you can't challenge Commerce's determination unless you're also challenging the liquidation? Where does it say that?
What it is focusing on...
Does it say that?
It does not say that specifically.
Right.
But the structure is set up to cover the margins which are used as the basis for liquidations and cash deposits. There are two recognized reasons, two recognized purposes of a review. And the statute does not recognize, in those provisions of 1675, that one of the purposes of a review is to determine a margin that might be used in some way in a future revocation determination under the three-year revocation provision, or under a sunset review, which is a five-year revocation determination, or to determine what the margin is and how the margin should be calculated, because that issue may come up in the next review. I mean, that was the issue in the American Brake case, where the appellant was claiming that the issue, whether or not there was a separate rate, would come up in the next review, and it needed a determination on it. The entries had been liquidated, the court threw the case out. And that has been the rule since Zena, and that has been consistently applied.
Zena didn't involve a three-year review issue, right?
Zena itself did not, but it involved margins, and appellants here are focusing on the margins. And Zena said the determination of those margins in the context of a review, you're going to lose that right to review once you have liquidation of the entries.
What it says is you're going to lose the right to challenge the liquidation unless you get an injunction. And in this case, they're saying we don't care about the liquidation. We only care about the revocation that will take place in the seventh review. And they say the statute allows us to challenge Congress's determination. It doesn't require us to challenge the liquidation. And so the court has jurisdiction and there's a lot of controversy.
And what we're saying, what the government is saying, is that the jurisdiction of the court is based upon the statutory provisions that call for margins to be used in connection with entries, in connection with liquidation, and with cash deposit rates.
But the problem is it doesn't say that. It says that you can bring an action to challenge Congress's determination.
In an administrative review.
And it says if it's liquidated, you can't challenge the liquidation. It doesn't say if it's liquidated, you can't challenge the margin and the dump rate.
Right. The problem is that you have a long line of cases now over all these years where every time this issue has come up and where there has been liquidation, the courts have found, except for the one decision cited in the Ilsa decision, the courts have found that that ends the jurisdiction of the court.
But we haven't decided that issue with respect to the revocation question. Right.
That is correct. That has not been specifically addressed by this court. But my point is that if you start finding that type of exception, then you're virtually eliminating the finding in Zena, because virtually every case, the petitioners or the party can come up with a reason as to why the decision on the margin in that particular review could have an effect with respect to revocation under the three-year provision, with respect to sunset. In the sunset reviews, the department looks back at the margins for preceding years. So that makes every margin relevant. And you would, in effect, have a situation where, if the court were to allow this exception, you would eviscerate Zenith, because then in every case, there would be a basis for saying all these cases can go forward because the margins would affect the future decision.
Under Zenith, you still can't challenge the liquidation unless you proceed to get the injunction. You've lost the right to challenge the liquidation. But Zenith still has a lot of significance, doesn't it?
You can't challenge the liquidation, but in many of these cases, the parties are trying to challenge also the cash deposit rate or the margins, because the margins can have an effect, or the basis on which the margin is calculated, the way in which the margin is calculated, can have an effect on what the Department of Commerce does in future reviews. The legal principles that are applied can affect another review, as in the American Brake case. And what I'm saying is, if you start opening the door to saying, anytime you can conjure up a reason why the decision on the margin and how the margin is calculated in a particular case could have an effect in a future review, then you will, in effect, say that Zena doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think we've joined that issue. Thank you, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Zanopoulos, you have some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, rebuttal, just a couple of points. In connection with American Brake, the American Brake case, again, is irrelevant. in that particular case, the appellant was interested in a legal principle, and that is whether a respondent should have received a separate anti-dumping rate, and that would have affected already liquidated current period of review entries. As regards the future entries, the decision was without prejudice to the appellant because, if relevant, the appellant could raise the issue and have it addressed in a subsequent review, which again is not our situation yet.
As how do you address the opening of the floodgates of litigation argument posed by counsel for the government?
Your Honor, thank you. I don't think there'll be an opening of the floodgates to the extent that many of the litigants in these cases, many of the plaintiffs in these cases, are in fact interested in the duties that have been assessed in the current review. They will be required, continue to be required, if Ameriscale succeeds in this, even if Ameriscale succeeds in this case, they'll continue to be required to file preliminary injunctions suspending liquidation, because we have acknowledged that in our particular case, we cannot challenge the liquidation. Liquidation of current period review entries is not an issue in this case. If it is an issue for a litigant will have to file for a preliminary injunction and obtain one. And so litigants that are interested in that will file for those. In a sense, what the defendant appellees are asking is that all plaintiffs file for preliminary injunctions, which we think is a tremendous waste of judicial resources and counsel's resources, filing for preliminary injunctions where a preliminary injunction is not, should not be required, because we're talking about prospective relief to future entries. It's enough for the questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.